Few weeks ago, God poured out his hand to me and he caused me to sit and start preparing messages for this church, and it lasted for a very long time. And I've been bringing those messages the last few weeks. As far as I know, this takes us clear through September. He just literally had me sit and start writing what he wanted me to bring to you. I'm an extemporaneous speaker. I can't read from notes. I only have notes. But he gave me a lot of notes. And I want to bring you a few of those this very day. Today I want to talk to you about how you will be transformed, and how fitting is that we're going through a transition period here at Vanderhoof, and God wants to transform each and every one of us. In fact, it should be a daily transformation, not just something that happens once. It should be ongoing in our lives. God says, as you seek me and more of my glory, I am transforming you into the image of my Son. That's an incredible statement. But I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, and we'll look into this just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This chapter has to do with changed lives through Christ that changed the world. Literally changed the world. And changed lives proves that ministry that comes from Christ Jesus is not only important in a daily life, but it's real. When lives are changed, it proves God's existence. And people can fake it, but it usually only lasts for a very short time in their life. When someone's life begins to be transformed by Christ Jesus, it is a lifelong process unless someone causes them to stumble and fall. And we cannot be the stumbling block for anyone in their journey with Christ Jesus. That is the most important thing that I could ever leave with you, is to never create an atmosphere where you become a stumbling block to someone's faith journey. That means we must take care of one another and love one another. That's so appropriate, the message for the children this morning. Teaching them to love one another only works if you show them how to love one another. That's the only way. You can preach to these kids every Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, but if they don't have that atmosphere of love at home, they won't get it. So 2 Corinthians, here we are, chapter 3 and verse 18. It says this. It's the very last verse in the chapter. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you believe that? And is that too deep? If it's too deep, I needed to break it down, so I broke it down. In the book of John, it says that when Christ came, he came out of a mercy situation. He was put here on earth so that God could be a merciful God in flesh and bones and come and be that sacrifice that we all need for forgiveness. And it's something only God could do. And it says that Christ came from grace to be grace. He came from the grace of God the Father, unmerited favor, to give unmerited favor to others that exist. And so, therefore, when you read, and from grace to grace, you'll understand what it means. God the Father was gracious, and He said, I'm sending my Son, and He too will be graceful because He comes from me. And He'll do something astounding. He will give His life as a ransom for many who will believe in Him. It's a beautiful story. And then He says in this chapter, as Paul writes to this church, you need to be, he's writing to a church. It could be Second Vanderhoof. It could be Second Bethel. It doesn't matter. Put your church name there in these books. Second Vanderhoof, chapter 3, verse 18. You need to become transformed into the image of the one who sent Christ. You need to be transformed into grace and glory from glory. If God's a glorious God and a graceful God and a merciful God, then what should we become? Transformed into the image of grace from grace. It's a beautiful thing. And it's what we need to work toward, not avoid. We can't have the visions, not in this house. And I pray that forevermore, this place will be known as a place of grace and mercy. Because that's what it has become. And you can't let the transformation stop. It must continue. And the more you pray about it and let God be in control, the more grace will appear here. And the more people will want to worship with you. And grace from grace from grace. Take time, if you would, at some time and read this chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. And I think you will be enlightened by it. If you turn back to the book of Exodus in your Bible, excuse me. I have to take some things out of my Bible so I can actually turn back. Turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Excuse me. 33. When people are rescued out of any situation, excuse me, whatever you have gone through or are going through right now, and I know that Kim and her family have had a very trying week and a very trying year, as have most of you. I know Poppy has just lost someone this past week, and Ronnie and the whole family, and it's a difficult time. And my brother Joe told me he had a hard week last week, that things just sort of came down on his shoulders and he was enveloped by it. We have those things. It's life, right? It happens. But as you come through this life that we have, you need to come out of whatever it is that you're going through transformed. Transformed. And you can be transformed if you allow God to do it. You can be transformed negatively or positively. The choice is yours. Just like I said about praying. You can go through divorces. You can go through separations. You can go through money problems. You name it. And if you allow God to have His hand in it, you'll be transformed positively. And He'll be able to use that in your life to help someone else down the road. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, we'll also look at excuse me, verse 18. This is so short. This is so short that I want you to be able to get this. What does it say right there? Let's say we all want to be transformed positively, right? Let's just say that. You want to say it with me? I want to be transformed positively. Can you do that? I want to be transformed positively. What did the people say to God? Please show me your glory. The glory is Jesus Christ. The glory is His grace. The glory is His mercy. The glory is that you got to live another day to experience this life regardless of what it threw at you. You can see God's grace in your life. Josh had a bad accident this week. He said he got out of his vehicle and the first thing he said was, I'm alive. And I would say to Josh right now, and we did out in the hallway in certain words, God showed you His glory. It wasn't your day to go, but it was your day, hopefully, to look at that now and say, wow, I'm alive. Maybe not tomorrow, but right now, I'm alive. I made it to North Carolina and back, up 77, and through the turnpike. I'm alive. Yeah, I'm short $12, but I'm alive. It's so simple, yet so hard to grasp, that when we go through these difficult times, Paul was telling that church, be transformed. Look at God. Look at His glory. Give Him some credit for what He's done in your life. And then these people that have come out of Egypt, out of bondage for 430 years to the day. To the day. You read about that Exodus. It'll get you. He said when He allowed them to go into bondage, they'd been there for 430 years, not days, years. And when they walked out of Egypt, led by Moses, God's man, it was exactly 430 years to the day. And we're at the end of the book of Exodus, and these people have been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And God did this for them. I don't need my Bible. I know this story. I don't need to look at it. I need my Bible every day, but I know this story. He led them around in the desert for 40 years. They're still there. Amen, puppy. Hoping that they would be transformed. He gave them a cloud, a pillar of a cloud, a pillar. I saw one the other evening. It looked like a Russian hat. It was this great big cloud sitting on top of other clouds. Did you see that the other day? The clouds have been glorious this week, by the way. You need to look up once in a while. Thank you, Father, right? Look up and check those clouds out. There was this huge pillar sitting on top of other clouds. And I thought, I wonder if that's what it looked like. God gave them a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of a fire by night. A pillar, big pillar. He led them around for 40 years. My Bible says their clothes didn't deteriorate, nor their shoes. He fed them every day with manna from heaven. They got tired of that. They wanted birds. He gave them a whole bunch of birds. They got tired of that. Every time Moses, their leader, disappeared, they were worshiping false idols. And He gave them 40 years to be transformed. And then, it's the most audacious scripture in the Bible to me. Audacious. Unbelievable. Crazy. After 40 years, they say, hey God, show us your glory. It's a good thing He's a patient God. Because if I'd have been that God, I'm going to give you one of them. Is that crazy? He protects them. He loves them. He had to correct them. He did all those things. And after 40 years, they said, hey, how about showing us what you're made of there, God? Show us your glory. What do we do with what God gives us on a daily basis? Do we say, thank you for showing us your glory? Or do we say, sure wish God would show up. I wonder where he is. Turn back to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. And you can believe this or not, but I am almost done. I'm taking the jacket off. You know what that means, don't you? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. 1 Corinthians. You see, if you don't pay attention, if we don't pay attention to what he's doing for us in this life now, we need to leave here positively. The children were just here. A lot of them didn't come up. But they're here in worship. A bunch of the little ones came up. We saw them. We saw people working with the children. We see family joining. We see 130, 40 people gathered here on the hill that you shouldn't even know where this church is, basically. You have to want to be here to be here, but you're here. And that's just what happened this morning. We have eight people, I think. It is almost, I think around eight or so, lined up that want to be baptized too. People are still coming. The world's still spinning. Babies are still being born. God is good. We need to recognize from day to day and hopefully from minute to minute how good God is and that he is doing positive things in our life. We need to leave here positively. Are people sick? Yes, they are. Do they know Christ? If they know Christ, they will be transformed eventually into a perfectness that they've never had before, and they'll never be sick again. They'll never be ill again. There'll be no more tears, no more heartache. We have a brilliant hope and a brilliant future regardless of what happens to us negatively here on this planet. We have a brilliant hope. But if you don't recognize it while you're here, well, let's look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 15. I love this chapter because this speaks of the facts of Christ's resurrection. Chapter 15, turn way over there in this chapter. We're going to read verses 51 and 52. We'll probably read all the way to the end of this. Bodies that are being transformed and translated into living, breathing people who know Christ and have been totally transformed and changed. Paul writes to the church, he says, "Behold, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, I think this is perfect scripture for the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And the dirty diapers shall be taken out of the diaper pail to the trash dumpster and deposited there so that they don't stink on Wednesday nights. That's what the balance of that scripture said. And the trustees and the pastor, thank you very much. Behold, if you're not willing to be changed now, it's coming. I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body that we have must put on an incorruptible body, a perfect body, a good body, one that does not get sick. And this mortal body of ours will be putting on an immortal body that will last forever. What form that takes, I don't know. Ask God. He'll tell you. But we shall all be changed. The perfect plan that God has for you while you are here and now, here, is that you should be transformed into the living, breathing image of Christ. And you should treat everyone as Christ treated us, with mercy and love and compassion and tolerance and peace and, most of all, forgiveness. Christ asks us to pick up our cross and follow Him. We cannot be on that cross. Only one could be there, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one perfect enough to shed perfect blood to cover the sins of mankind. So the cross that He asked us to pick up is very simply this. It's our cross of grace from grace and grace from grace. We must forgive as He has forgiven us. In fact, my Bible says, if we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. That's the transformation that you need in your life. I could speak the rest of the morning. You would go brain dead. I would get hoarse. So let's just end this thing. The first step in completing your journey here on earth of transformation is to start forgiving others. And grace from grace and grace to grace. Make it a vital part of your day to work on forgiveness. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's entire groups of people or it's one individual. You must do the forgiving. Don't wait on others to come to you and say, oh, I'm sorry for what I did 15 years ago and you're still holding a grudge. You can't do that. It's up to us individually. God sent Christ here as grace for us, unmerited favor. He knew that we didn't, you know, when I was forgiven by Christ, I knew I did not deserve it. But that's God's grace. And He sent His Son here to bring us more grace. And then He says that we will be transformed, but it shouldn't be after your body dies. It should be while we're here. We should be transformed. And that's not a twinkling of an eye. That's a lifelong process. But when you pass from this life to the next, or when Christ comes, we shall all be changed. Not all of us will die. Some will be translated up out of this world, just like Elijah was. The body won't die. I'm not waiting on Christ to come in the eastern sky to admit who He is. I'm admitting it now, and I'm thanking God for His grace, because Christ is a picture of transformation in this world. If the world would look at our Christ and model Him, the world would immediately be transformed into the image of a Christ, and we would declare there would be no more wars. Be transformed. Be the church that transforms your community, and do it one prayer at a time. Pray with me.